Okay, so this is Jane Stone King interviewing Sally Seagraves. It's October 7th, 2016. We are at Fintel Library, located on Roanoke College campus in Salem, Virginia. This is for the Southwest Virginia LGBTQ History Project Oral History Initiative. All right, Sally, if you wouldn't mind stating your name and where you grew up.
Sally Seagraves, and I grew up in various areas of Virginia and North Carolina.
Okay. And what year were you born?
1959.
Okay. And what's your earliest memories of where your location was at growing up?
Radford, Virginia.
Radford, Virginia, cool. What was your home life like with your parents and siblings? Do you have any siblings?
I have two brothers and mom and dad. I feel like I grew up in the typical American middle America home. Lots of outdoor play and lots of interaction with my family.
Would you say that your household is really religious growing up?
We did have religion. We grew up United Methodist, and we attended church and youth groups and various things. I was baptized, confirmed in the church growing up.
So what schools did you attend growing up then? If you said you kind of went all over, did you attend the public schools or?
My parents were educators, and I grew up going to public school. My dad was my principal all but about 3 years of my life.
And so you said you went all over. What are the different areas that you spent your education at?
So in Radford, I started in elementary school. My dad went back to school to get his doctorate at Duke University, so we moved to Durham, North Carolina. So I lived there for a couple years, and then we moved to Samford, North Carolina. And so there, that's middle school through graduation of high school. I went to East Carolina University for a year, and then transferred to Radford University, and that's where I graduated.
Cool. So you say you started in elementary school then in Radford. So what was the culture like of that school at such a young age? Do you remember?
A typical school. I mean, I remember having, good friends that lived in the neighborhood, and we rode our bikes to school. It was probably 12 blocks or so. And we took public transportation, home from school. I don't recall anything really out of the ordinary. It was just school. You went. Came home, did your homework.
So then, so you spent the later part of your schooling then, and for a majority of it, in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Is the culture there any different when you're getting older?
I remember in middle school that we had some segregation in the school system, and we were bused to another school from where we originally started attending. For that. It had some tension at that time, racial tensions and stuff. So those were sometimes tense, kind of scary times, but moved through it, so that's about all I remember during that time in Durham.
So is it around that time, did you notice anything else with the segregation with the lesbian gay community or anything like that with the term segregation that added attention to it?
I don't know at that point that I was really aware that much of what my orientation was. I really didn't until probably almost getting into high school, probably.
Okay, and you said you're in North Carolina. From mm-hmm. what?
So I'm in North Carolina from fifth grade. And then I don't think, I guess we moved to Sanford when I was in seventh grade.
And that's back into Virginia then?
No, I'm in North Carolina from that point on until I go back to college.
Okay.
All right.
So you started noticing segregational issues earlier on, and then when you started high school, did you notice anything else with the culture after?
Yeah, when we moved to, my dad took a principal position in Sanford, and we moved. It was a very tense racial condition. People were throwing bricks off of railroad tracks onto windshields of cars, things like that. So I remember being scared for him and the role he was, but he, you know, really was a great leader. He came in and really persevered with that, with conversation and respect. And our household, you were respectful, and prejudice was not an area that you wanted to venture into in the household. That it was not tolerated. So, and I remember a conversation around it, just the equality of people and showing respect. And, you know, we had a lot of peers that were not growing up in the same environment. And, you know, homecoming queens, things like that. I remember being some prejudice entered into that. It was not very pretty. And, I think I was becoming aware that something was different about me. But kids made fun of, you know, they would call, you know, if you, it wasn't like even that a person was gay. If you acted something, there was slang involved, just like there was slang with any prejudice. But it was a long time ago, so you know, I knew I was different. Although I had boyfriends, relationships, my faith was, you know, I was still in, you know, attending church and stuff. So, you know, you have questions because you feel like, or you've been brought up that there's heterosexual man and woman is the relationship. So all of those questions were in my mind. How much I thought about it, because I was very, very active. I played in the band, played sports. And all my activities kind of circled around those things. So how much time I had to spend thinking about those things was probably nominal, but they were there.
So you said you were pretty active in your school then with sports and being in the band and everything. What was like their circle of friends that you might have had in school? How was like your culture with them? You were talking about how the school was throwing around slang terms and everything, mm-hmm. about homosexuals and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So what was the culture like between just your circle of friends then? Was it the same or did it differ in some way?
I felt like I knew just about everybody in high school. And it was a fairly large high school. I mean, our class was probably 400 or 500 kids. So you knew a lot of people. I did have, a circle of friends. I lived in a gated community, so, you know, there was a group of us that hung out in that community. And many are still, you know, dear friends today. So, when you say culture, I just feel like I was a typical kid growing up in America. not facing any more adversity or prejudice than, you know, maybe other people. But it was there. I do remember it being there. The Ku Klux Klan was very prevalent there. They had, you could call the number and a recording would play about their rallies and where they were going to be. So, you know, but that's about my extent of, you know, being a kid and calling it and listening to it, not really acting on it, just knowing that it was there. And that was probably some of the peer pressure that came from, just being a kid.
So you said that it was around your high school years that you started kind of having some feelings, general feelings about maybe being different than everyone else. Did that, like, cause any fear for you or anything back then? Or, like, was there any kind of resistance against feeling the way you were feeling?
I don't recall having fear. But I don't know that I wasn't suppressing a lot because I had a high school sweetheart. And it really wasn't until I left high school and left the town that I lived in. And I guess maybe I did have fear because I remember it was almost I didn't want to embarrass my family. I didn't want to put any pressure on them because of, you know, how I might feel. So when I left there, it was, it probably was a little bit liberating for me. But that's when I really probably had my first relationship, you know, with a female.
One last question before we move on from high school, because you were talking about how the kind of noticed a lot more things then. Did you notice anything different with your family's culture, between your siblings or anything like that in your high school years? Different from when you were younger?
No, I don't recall. We were around each other a lot, played a lot of golf, you know, spent summers at the pool. Both my brothers, we all worked jobs while growing up. So I don't recall it being different from when we were younger to those high school years.
Were you close to your brothers then and everything too?
Yes. Yeah, we were. And still are. My younger brother's deceased now, but my older brother and I have grown closer. We live, you know, far apart, but we pick right back up where we left off, you know, when you get together and for holidays and stuff.
So after you graduated from high school then, can you talk about where you went after that and what year you graduated then?
So I graduated in 1977, and I left for East Carolina University. Lived in the dorm, all-female dorm there. Had some folks around from my high school, met new friends. My boyfriend and I were, he was in Florida, I was, you know, in Virginia, so it was starting to, you know, we were trying to figure all of that out and eventually ended the relationship. I felt like I loved him very much. Talked about marrying, having kids, the whole nine yards. But the one thing I felt is I would never love him like he deserved to be loved because of how I felt when I was with a woman. So that was hard to come to terms with, and hurting him after, you know, dating the majority of high school. I mean, we had brief separation times, but you know, we're kids too, so. That was something I never told him, and I wish I had have been honest about it, but I didn't feel like I could. So
is that like your freshman year in college then?
Mm-hmm. That's all transpiring that freshman year.
So then going into your sophomore year then, is that kind of when you were able to?
So I transferred to Radford University. All females on my mom's side of the family attended there. I had a job, so I took care of three kids for a doctor who was a good family friend, known for years. And he and his wife had divorced and had three kids. So they were 5, 7, and 9 when I arrived. And he was a OBGYN, so he delivered babies. So that was my major role, was to be there on particularly the nights where he would be at the hospital all night on call. And so I had a lot of latitude. Went to classes, ran the kids around, still played sports and stuff, intramurals. And my first relationship, and I don't remember when it kind of ended in that time, but it ended. And I had short relationships through college. I always say I was preparing for my partner of today. Living and having those kids kind of, it was hard, but I had, you know, times where I could go out and socialize and meet people, so.
As far as socializing goes, were you a part of any on-campus activities? I know you talked about intramural sports, mm-hmm. but anything else on campus as well?
Just intramural sports. That's all I recall. I wasn't in any sororities or anything.
So you, at this point then, you kind of know your sexual preferences and mm-hmm. everything like that. Did it affect you at all, like partying or anything like that at school? Did you party? Or?
Yeah, I partied. Oh, you mean did I party? I partied, you know, with straight people. I partied with gay people. I kept, for many years, I kept them very separated because I had straight friends and I had gay friends. And so I did keep that kind of separated, which is not too easy when you're in a small school in a small town. But again, you know, I'm not quite there being comfortable. It's still, I don't feel that I'm going to be accepted. So I'm you know, still kind of living that secret life.
So you talk about then basically two different circles of friendship, then mm-hmm. One straight and one homosexual then.
Mm-hmm.
So on your straight friends, did you kind of, did they know that you were kind of out, or were you kind of?
I don't, they probably did. I didn't share with them. But, you know, when you go back and talk to people, a lot of times they know. They knew. And, you know, my family probably knew, but hadn't shared yet, so.
So after you started then in college, how much did you talk with your family then, or did anything change with them?
No, my you know, I went back home for holidays. Usually, when I was home, I was probably around a lot of my high school friends that would be there for, you know, home. But after time, I would say, you know, my college friends were kind of my primary friends at that point. And they would come home. We would visit my house, and I would bring college friends home, and usually straight were, you know, at that point. And my little brother was still there in high school. So my parents, you know, would be there, or they'd be on a trip, or just depending on the time and the situation.
So did you come out to your parents then during college or at all?
No, I didn't. I did not come out to my family until my dad passed away, and I'm trying to think. I'm in my 30s probably. And he died suddenly, so it was very, you know, it was devastating. And at that point, I really felt like nothing else could really hurt me any more than I was hurting at that point. And I wrote my mom a letter and told her, she already knew. and I told my sister-in-law, my younger brother was married, and she said to tell her something she didn't know. So, you know, again, when I've shared with people, I've had good experiences. But I will tell you, even today, even doing this for me is outside of my box. But something that I want to be better about, and I feel like I want people to be honest with me, then I have to be honest back. So
back in your college period and everything, you talked about your earlier experiences in school, kind of being unaware of different things potentially going on or things like that. And getting into high school, kind of more segregation and a little bit more fearful environment. What about college as a whole then? Did any of that escalate there or?
You know, there was the gay dorm on campus. My aunt was a professor there at that time, and she was head of the PE club. And of course, you know, everybody who majors in PE was gay at that point. So, but I can remember her having the PE club come over and help close her pool, and I was there. And that's my first, you know, that's sort of when I first met some of the ladies there at school. And a lot of those became friends, you know, later on in the latter years.
So, like, as far as on-campus groups and everything, were there any groups that were, like, the gay groups or anything like that on campus that you're aware of?
I just remember them having being the gay dorm, and so, you know, if they came and sat at the basketball game and I was with my straight friends, and you know, there were comments that were made at times, and you know, when those comments are made, then you kind of pull back, right?
If you wouldn't mind, would you share like any comments if you feel comfortable doing so?
That I heard?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a long time ago, but I don't know that. Yeah. I don't think they called them. Well, they did have a song that they sang, and it was LEBISEN. We love women more than men, kind of, you know, with lesbian. I remember that. And they might just point them out at the sporting event, like, you know, there they are, there here they are. Yeah, there's the girls from the gay dorm, that type of thing.
So going out of college then, what year did you graduate from that, and what did you do next?
I graduated in 1981, and I came to Roanoke to find a job. And my first job was at Merrill Lynch, and I worked there for a brief period of time, and then I went to work at a ear mold company for the next several years. So that was my first venture into the working world.
So going from your early school experience to high school to college, that's definitely a time of kind of discovering yourself.
Mm-hmm.
When you came to Roanoke then, did that help for yourself even more? Or
I had a relationship when I moved here. I was in a relationship. We lived together. We were roommates. A few of us lived in a house. That was probably a year, maybe. And then I had a relationship, I dated kind of on and off, but not really anything serious at that point.
Were you like completely out then at this time?
No. You could still, so it's, it's the 80s, all right? And if there's not probably a provision in your employer's rules and policies and stuff,
that
sexual orientation is accepted. So, I lived in fear that if my employer found out, they might eliminate my job. So, no, I'm not out at this point either.
During this time, I know that it was kind of the specific areas downtown. Where they call them like the gay bars, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Did you still go to those or anything?
Yeah, I the park was the club that you went to, and I frequented there quite a bit. I can remember times where I would, somebody might come into there that was in my straight world, and sometimes, depending on who, it didn't happen a whole lot, but depending on who it was, if I left or, stayed on a particular side of the room or whatever. So I don't remember that happening very often, maybe a time or two. But after a while, when you get older, and that scene's not your scene anymore, so...
Did it make it hard going to that kind of out in the working world after being in college? Were you able to be more open in college than you were out in the, after you got a job and everything?
You still have, I describe it almost as two separate lives that you're kind of leading. You're leading, I went to parties and I went out to the club and I also interacted in the business world with, some of the people that I worked with and stuff. But there was, still I feel like there was a divide there that I was keeping two pots of, folks, so to speak.
So going forward a few years, do you know what year you started attending Metropolitan Community Church?
It was right after the Backstreet shooting, because I had no idea it was here. I was attending Methodist Church. in my neighborhood. And somebody had told me about it. And so I asked two questions. I asked if the pastor was ordained and if there was a cross in the church. And that's kind of, now that I look back, those are two crazy questions for that denomination. But, you know, those were my questions. So that I tried, you know, the church. I went to the church one Sunday, and, you know, it was small, in a storefront area. There was like a room and a closet area, the annex kind of, and it was packed, and a lot of great folks. The pastor was phenomenal. And so I gradually migrated from, you know, attending the Methodist church, because I was involved in some committees and counted money and stuff. So I eventually kind of moved solely to Metropolitan Community Church. And that was right around probably 2000, 2001.
And so before then, back in the late 80s, they had the first Pride Walk, the first, and then Wasina in that area. Did mm-hmm. you attend that?
Oh, no.
No. Were you afraid to?
I probably didn't even know about it at that point. My first recollection of Pride was after I started attending church at Metropolitan Community Church.
And then you spoke about the shooting, and that's kind of how you found out about it. Mm-hmm. Can you go into details about, like, how?
Well, on the news, I mean, obviously, it was a story that was highly publicized. And I remember seeing the pastor on TV. And then just later, in conversation with some friends, of inviting me to come to the church there. So that was my first.
So when you first started attending it, that was back when it was on Kirk Avenue mm-hmm. in downtown. Mm-hmm. How long were you guys there for, do you remember?
We were at that church for a year. And then we moved right up the street to a bigger space. And everybody just grabbed a chair after church and moved it up. Moved, you know, there wasn't much stuff but chairs. And we were there for several years before we bought the building. I was on the building committee to search for the next home. And so that's, and I think 2004 we moved to the building.
So you talked about how when they would pull stuff out for the church, then they were literally pulling it out of the closet. Did you guys ever discuss that?
Well, the original folks that started Metropolitan Community Church of the Blue Ridge were in the Utilitarian, or Unity Church. And, they literally had a box that they kept in the closet, and that, you know, whenever service, they'd bring the box out, set everything up, have service, and then put it back in. That was a common joke that they said they, you know, church in a box in the closet, so...
And so I guess after you guys moved and everything, what year did you guys move to your permanent location?
I believe it was 2004, if I remember correctly.
So a while ago you mentioned kind of you officially came out kind of during your father's passing and everything.
Mm-hmm.
What time frame, what year like around was that, and how did that impact you?
My dad passed away in 1998. So, you know, that's not too long ago if you think of how long we've talked about, you know, coming through school and college and being a young adult. So it was, you know, quite a while.
So you said at that time, like, you came out to your family and everything. Is mm-hmm. that also kind of when you came out to the community as a whole, or is that still?
No, I came out to my family. Still not, you know, the business world and stuff. Even if you ask me where I went to church and stuff, I might not share that because that was known as the gay church. So, really, I would say I've been at my current employer for 5 years, and I've had mentors along the way. And my first mentor, I shared after several months of mentoring that, you know, I had a partner, and she says, you know, you can share that at work. And I said, well, I don't know if I want to. She goes, well, just know that you can share it. And at that point, at my early years there, I was on the floor with, you know, some men, and I'd heard, again, some slang used. And any time I think I heard that, I would retreat back. So it wasn't till the recent years I had another mentor, and she encouraged me to be open. And I was in a leadership class, and that was my task, like on my first meeting with her. I want you to go back to that group and tell them. And I was like, okay. But again, everybody very warm, you know, open. So all my experience when I have told people have been good. I've not had any bad experiences. But at times it's still, you know, it's still difficult sharing that personal piece sometimes.
Is it because you're afraid of, like, how they're going to respond or kind of?
And, you know, I don't know. I guess probably so. I like to think that I don't care what people think, but I probably do a little bit, truth be known. My partner's not out to her entire family. They probably know. So, that's a fine line I kind of walk with that still, out of respect for, you know, her, and she needs to decide when that time for her is correct and feels safe. So I still live in a little bit of it today, but it's a lot. You know, it's come a long way. The world's come a long way. I think there's additional that we all can do, but I mean, if you look back over time, there's been a lot of progress. So, and progress for me, so.
So, you started attending the church then way back when it was on Kirk Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
Did you progressively become more involved with the church?
I did. I've served on the board for many, on and off, on more than off. And just been, I play guitar in the praise band. So, potlucks, you know, love potlucks. I'm a Methodist, so we always had potlucks. But, I would say I'm fairly active.
I think we heard a little bit about that band. Do you remember the name of the?
The Skittles.
Skittles.
Yeah. One of our drummer's kid named us that. So one of the ladies in the choir, their child named us the Skittles.
And when did you guys start that band then?
I don't, on and off, you know, depending if we had musicians. The Skittles, so to speak, have just probably been in the last year or two, I think. But we had times where we played and we weren't called anything, just different instruments coming and playing at different times. My nephews have come up and played with us. So, just various folks.
I guess one thing I haven't asked yet is like your political inclination, like growing up and everything to this day. Did that ever change at any point?
My grandmother had probably the biggest influence on, I would say, all three of my siblings and myself. She was staunch Republican. And so I have a lot of Republican tendencies. So I fiscally lean Republican. But I don't vote solely that way. I vote based on, you know, what I learn, what's important to me at that point, on positions and stuff. That's probably changed over the years, with just knowing more about, in the progress that's been made with, you know, same-sex marriages and things like that. So I probably lean a little more to the sides of the things that are progressing that, but I also don't want to sacrifice the fiscal piece, and I really don't like big government, so I'll vote according to what my gut tells me and my heart, so.
And then another thing, so we talked about kind of like when the first Pride Parade happened in Roanoke, and if you weren't much aware of that at the time until after that incident kind of brought you more into the niche of that community. Did you attend any parades after joining that
tribe? I haven't been in any of the parades. I've attended Pride. And, you know, we normally have a church service there. I volunteered our booth. We used to do the food there. I've worked on that. I've helped, you know. And when I wouldn't attend, I would just help deliver stuff and bring stuff back to the church. But I've never participated in the Pride Parade.
So did you start like attending them then, like right after you joined with the church?
Or? My first Pride was over in Highland Park. And, you know, they wouldn't let any of the news people, could only take pictures from certain venues and areas. It was very much monitored and controlled by the committee as far as the pictures and the filming that was taking place. And it's funny because now it's really not that way at all. They really don't do any of that anymore, and there's not a whole lot of press and stuff that comes out. I just think it's kind of a, you know, it's an event just like a wine festival or a jazz festival or, you know, just news. Here's another festival. Here's another celebration of, you know, be it Susan G. Komen or, you know, whatever. So,
with all the different roles you take on in your church, then, is there anything else you do within the community? I know you already do so much that you already share with us.
I do a different volunteer for different runs and stuff like that, whether I participate in them walking or running or that. I do a lot of community stuff with my work, so and volunteering and things like that. A lot of events, work events. I feel like I'm circulating quite a bit in the community.
So bringing up today then, really up until this current period of time, is there still just different places you feel comfortable with sharing things? Like you have your family and your church community, and then your different like work areas, and you only share with certain people within your work areas?
I'm pretty open at work. I mean, people know, a lot of folks know my partner. So I would say at work, I have a picture of my family on my screensaver, with all of us. So I would say out as at work and personally. There's just a couple areas that are pockets now.
Yeah, you mentioned your significant other right now, about how that's like kind of the area where you can't open up to. I don't believe I can think of anything else. Can you think of anything else you'd want to share with us?
I think I'm good.
Covered it all?
Yep.
All right, well, we'd like to thank you so much for coming out and having this conversation with us and for telling us your story.
Thank you for having me.